Hey everybody, this is Dak Mack from the Galloping Ghost Arcade out in Brookfield, Illinois. We are here today doing another podcast. We've had so much stuff going on here at the arcade and on productions, so we want to thank you for joining us, and we are joined, as always, by our former Gamer of the Year, Pete Hahn.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? So, if you haven't ever tuned into our podcast, or, you know, it's been a while, this might be a recap for you if you listen all the time, but basically what we do on the podcast is go over recent high scores and world records set at the arcade, any new games that we've added, any events coming up, and then we also try to interact with you, the community of Galloping Ghost Arcade, through our Galloping Ghost Productions Facebook group. So if you haven't already, please join Galloping Ghost Productions on Facebook, and usually a day or two before the podcast is recorded, we'll post up and say, hey, does anyone have any topics or questions, and then we'll see if we can get to those by the end of the podcast. So other than that, we can just jump right in.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's been incredibly busy.
Yeah.
There's so many things going on. As always, there's a lot going on behind the scenes and a lot of things that we're preparing for. So where do you want to start today?
Let's start with events and announcements.
All right.
So you've probably seen my Facebook post, but the swap meet is coming up on March 25th.
Yes. The last few have been like really great.
Yes.
And I know so far we've already got more tables than ever.
We've booked 14 tables, and that's not including me, so I may not get a table this time.
I'm sure we'll find some space. You always have some good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'll just chill in the corner. But yeah, I'll probably have a few things, but not as much as I have before.
We've been really organizing a lot of things here, so we've got a lot of our PCBs more set up, and I'm thinking about trying to downsize one of our storage spaces, so I might be, like, we've got a bunch of control panels. And
might be selling all that off?
We might be selling some more stuff and letting people check more of it out and have access
to it. Well, I will bring my super gun, as I have for the last couple, so people can test them out. We can make sure they're playing. We'll hook it up to a TV, and that way we can see if the sound's working and everything else. And that way you can be sure, you know, what you're buying is good. Because it's always, I don't know, we like to make sure people are happy with their purchase.
Absolutely. We've definitely been getting a bunch of double PCBs lately. Mm-hmm. I've been buying cabinets just for the cabinets.
Right.
Just because we have so much stuff in the vaults, and we're already preparing for the next expansion. And there's a lot of new boards that we have that weren't available at the last one. So a lot of good stuff, a lot of rare stuff.
Oh, maybe I'll cherry pick that then.
There's our spare Nemesis board will probably be
for sale.
Up for sale, yeah.
Nice.
So a lot of good stuff. Just pulled out an extra Golden Axe board today too.
The first Golden Axe?
Original.
Okay. Cool.
So
excellent. All right. Next up, we've got Pete Gore is helping us out backing up System 24 games.
Yeah, the Sega System 24 was a system that they put out that utilized a diskette drive, a 3.5-inch diskette system. Great games: Gain Ground, Scramble Spirit, Bonanza Brothers, Hot Rod, Crackdown. So many great games, but they're very highly prone to failure, and we were getting errors every time we tried to copy the disc. And it's always unsettling to me when I'm working on those systems and they're just so highly prone to fail. There was a Crackdown, fully working Crackdown, mm-hmm. that I was testing a diskette of another Crackdown, turned the system on, ejected the disc, put the other disc in, and it was the last time I had tested it was working. I just wanted to make sure it was still working. Mm-hmm. And it took down the diskette and the disk drive.
Oh, man.
And it was
just that act of ejecting the disk and putting the new one in?
Yeah. There was nothing else happened to it. It was just such a weird thing. And you go on forums and stuff, and everybody says that they think they have a way to copy them off of the main way that you copy them is within the System 24. You have to hold down the service button and mm-hmm. turn the machine on, and then it'll take the game into a disc copying mode.
Okay.
And you have to copy them basically sector by sector. So it takes about 15 minutes to copy a disc, and you're constantly putting in a new disc and then ejecting it and putting swapping discs back and forth. Pete, like, he heard us talking about it, and he really took it upon himself to try to figure out and try to crack how you could copy them from on a PC. And if he has a working disc, he can now do it, which is, it's just such a, and then he even went to the extent of providing us with a computer.
Yeah.
That we can just have sitting around with the DOS programs that it needs to actually do the copying.
Because so you can't use like a new 3.5-inch drive like plugged into a USB port in a new PC. It just doesn't work.
It doesn't.
We tried it.
It's got to be a very specific piece of software. And we had mentioned, it was funny, the day after he had brought that system and we had copied a couple of disks, somebody on KLOV had mentioned that they were missing a Bonanza Brothers disc, and they didn't back it up. And
$500? No.
we actually just sent it to them for free. Nice. And it's like, it's so cool that we can help people out and help preserve just arcade games in general. And we were happy to do it. But again, without Pete Gores spending the time and putting in that effort, and he was chugging
away at it for a while.
He was. It took a lot of research to figure it out and get just the right setup. And so huge shout outs to Pete for doing that. And
yes, thank you very much.
Going above and beyond as our gamer of the year. So it's
very cool. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Like, it's we've copied most of our games. We have a few more that we have to make double backup copies of.
I open up the coin door and there's a diskette in there, a couple of the games.
Yeah.
Just right there waiting.
We had Bonanza Brothers go down like that as well. Mm-hmm. And I fortunately found another disc in Japan. But we don't want to ever be in that situation again. So
cool.
Thanks, Pete, for all your hard work.
Cool. All right. Next up, we had our Blaster joystick. Basically, was it custom molded, or was it a how did so? Ken Coy was the guy that did this for us, right?
Yeah, Ken Coy, who he runs Coy Concepts, which has been working with Galloping Ghost Productions. Basically, we have. Our guy, Chris Elizardo, who used to work for McFarlane Toys, he's been sculpting all of our Dark Presence and Conquering Light statues and our actor likenesses of the Mortal Kombat characters. And he sends us the original sculpt, and then we turn it over to Ken Coy. So he makes molds of everything and then pours those out of resin.
Cool.
And it was one of those things that our Blaster stick, it's such a rare game, and I've seen the grip shell sell for $450.
Wow. So that without the joystick inside, just the outside.
No joystick, no buttons, just the two grips.
That's insane.
It's that rare. Mm-hmm. Only Blaster and Inferno were the only two games that really used it. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those, I wasn't sure he was going to want to take that on as a project, but he had recently done the spinners on our Pong cabinet. Mm-hmm. And did just a tremendous job. Like, he put set screws in there so they visually and from a functionality standpoint worked exactly like the original.
Now, did we have to get this Blaster joystick did it come out of necessity, or were you just thinking ahead? Did someone break ours?
It had actually there was a small fracture in the plastic when we got it.
Okay.
And about after a week of it being on the floor, a piece had actually cracked out. Oh. And fell inside of the cabinet.
Okay.
And shortly after the T20 tournament, the back part had cracked as well. Okay. So it was deteriorating quickly.
Yeah.
And we gave it to Ken. He re-sculpted the parts that had cracked, made a brand new cast of it, and it's literally, I can't feel the difference when I'm playing it.
Nice.
It has all the pinpoints for the micro switches and buttons and triggers and stuff. We're using the original button and trigger right now because he wants to get the exact resin and plastic that were used. And it looks like we've even given him, we've had extra Arch Rival sticks, which are 49-way sticks. It's the same functionality as the blaster stick. So we should be to the point where we can recreate the entire joystick. It'll be modified slightly just because the ball tops on the Arch Rival sticks will have to be cut out, but it will function 100%.
That's great. So. That's looking to the future.
Yeah, yeah. And we hope, I know there's a few people out there that are running different, like amongst the collector scene, that they have a cabinet and a board, but no stick.
Okay, so we can open that up for them.
Hopefully.
Okay. Cool. All right, so...
thanks to Ken. We've been keeping him so busy with new projects, and he's got a couple other MK statues and Conquering Light figures that he's been working on right now, and I think he'll become more and more of a... bigger player within the production side of things that'll help the arcade side. So, we'll talk more about the MK statues in a bit.
Cool. You want to talk about that now?
Sure. We've been working from Combat Con on a series of Mortal Kombat statues based on the original actors.
Their likenesses.
Yeah. So it's a statues of them. They're about 12 inches tall if you haven't seen them.
They're in the front case at the arcade. If you ever stop by, like, take a look, they look great.
Yeah. Chris, our sculptor, does just a fantastic job. He did first Daniel Piscina as Johnny Cage, then Philip Ahn as Shang Tsung from MK2. Then he did MK2 Raiden,
yes.
Carlos Piscina. And we already have, the next two are done, Kano.
Nice.
Which we have yet to unveil. We haven't even shown pictures of it yet. And Chris literally this morning just finished, the MK1 Daniel Piscina as Scorpion, Sub-Zero, and Reptile.
Oh, that's cool.
Because they had all the same victory stances.
Is he doing one sculpt and painting it three different ways, or is it going to be different poses for all three?
We're going with everyone will be sculpted from their victory stances.
Oh, okay.
So MK1 had the same victory stance for all three characters.
Right. Just the one hand up.
Mm-hmm. We are going to be doing the three paint variations of it. And ultimately, we will be doing a line of the Hall of Warriors. So they'll all be kind of like the stone
That's awesome.
Appearance. So
if people want to buy these right now, can they?
Right now, we've been doing a limited run of... We've been getting 10 for sale. There's a limited number of...
Extremely limited,
1 through 10. We've had a few people that are already locked into... They want all of them. So, the Raiden figure, we only made 5 of that one.
Okay.
So, if you're interested in them, definitely get in touch with me.
Okay.
We can get you set up if you're interested. They're a little pricey just because of the limited numbers and the amount of cost. It's something
you have to expect that with something you make 5 of.
Right, yeah. Right. And it's definitely a big process of definitely the sculpting, getting the molds made, getting the pores done, clean up, and then painting. And we've been making the bases are the cool MK Dragon, and they've been Most of them have been signed
yes.
by the actors, which is really cool. Yeah. So,
awesome. Cool. All right. So, next up, let's talk about new games that have not been Mystery Monday games added to the floor.
New games that have not been Mystery Monday games. Yes. It's surprising that there's been a handful of them.
There is, yeah. First off,
Virtua Fighter 2.
Yep. It's right next to Virtua Fighter 1 in the new expansion. If you haven't played that, that's where the series really took off, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It was like people were like, oh, the first one was innovative, but the second one like really improved gameplay and graphics, like everything.
So. Visually, it was such a tremendous step forward. Mm-hmm. That cabinet had a lot of work done to it.
Mm-hmm. It looks like there was like water damage on it, I think.
Yeah. The entire back has been replaced. There weren't sides on the control panel. Uh-oh. So a little bit and it had the board. We completely replaced the board.
Okay.
The board had some issues, so we swapped that out. But yeah, such a great game.
Yep. Definitely remember playing that on Saturn, I think it came out on originally. Then they went back and redid a Genesis version after that. Do you remember that? They reported it to Genesis after it came out on Saturn.
Really?
Yeah.
I even remember that.
It wasn't that great because they were like downscaling everything.
A bad Genesis game? I don't know what you're even talking about.
You're the master of Genesis. You have to know about this.
I honestly don't remember.
All right,
I know 32X. I know 32X.
Maybe it was 32X. Okay. Maybe it was 32X. Cool. Next up, Chimera Beast was added to the floor.
Chimera Beast was... there was something about that game that... I was going through MAME a while ago.
You went through MAME?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. For research purposes only. And actually probably... Like, for me, MAME... The huge thing of it... To be able to play and see games and use that as my guideline of like, oh, I want to find this game. And I knew nothing about Chimera Beast when I turned it on. I played it for a few minutes and it was like, wow, this is really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I added it to my list, my want list that I'm constantly...
It's growing.
It's shrinking faster than it is growing.
Okay.
It's one that I started looking for. I had never seen the board before, and then upon doing a little bit of research, I found out it never came out. It's an unreleased prototype. And that was kind of like, it literally got to the point where I had pulled it off my list. I was like, I'll never find this. Some super collector has it, and
one or two instances of the board being known, like of the actual real board. Like, there's, you can play it in MAME, but if you actually want a board,
I would say there's two out there.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
It's maybe more, but I have not heard of anyone having one. It made a tour in Japan. A few years back, and it started one of the creators that worked on it started tweeting about it, and yes. They had a Twitter account about it.
I followed Chimera Beast myself.
It was so amazing to see a game that was canceled and never put out, like having an impact in Japanese arcades, and it was like people were going and playing it. It was like it made me want to put it back on my list, but at that point it just seemed even more unlikely that I would ever find a board.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things you can never think like that. You should never think like that, because we eventually found one. And we have it here now, and it's one of those, it went up rather quietly.
Yeah.
And again, it's one of those, I'm so surprised people aren't talking about it, because...
Well, we didn't do it as a Monday Mystery game. We did it the Friday before a Monday Mystery, because we're like, I want to do this separate, this is a big deal. You know, we did a whole stream for it, and I think, I don't know, sometimes when it's not a Monday Mystery, people tend to forget about it.
It's
kind of weird, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. Like, just because it's not a Monday Mystery game shouldn't make it less of an amazing thing. And it's like Primal Rage 2 wasn't a Monday mystery game.
That's true.
But it's an amazing game. It's got a lot of innovation where they handled it. And just such a great game. And I cannot wait for you to, once you see it.
I'm going to... Some of the shrumpers got to chomp into it soon. With the mouth that comes out.
Yeah. I know Lord BBH...
Yes.
Has a video of it, and it's so tremendous to watch him play.
Yeah, he's got a 1cc video on his channel.
Yeah. I really hope he comes out.
Yeah, it'd be cool. See him play it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, among other things.
There's...
Cool. So, after Khmer Beast, Warzard. That was not a Monday Mystery game that was added as well.
No, that was another one. It's... When we made a post about that, that one got a lot of attention on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And that was one, as always, I'm buying games with certain players in mind. And that was one I thought that Norbert Vale would probably get into. And
I might get into that too. I might give it a shot.
And Haruza, and it's a really cool game.
I can
game.
See David getting into that too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's also known as Red Earth. Some of the fighters were in the Capcom Fighting Jam that came out. And it's basically just like boss battles. Which
They're like massively huge characters you're fighting against. Kind of like in a fighting game sense. Like, it's got a 6-button layout.
Yeah.
But it's massive characters you're fighting.
And it's on the CPS3 hardware, which we had it for a while. And then when we finally went to put it up, I got a nice cabinet for it. And when we went to run it, the CPS3 had issues and had suicided. So we had to find another one. But now it's on the floor and running. And
cool.
It's awesome.
Come check that one out. Primal Rage 2.3J.
Yes. That's... the Japanese version of the final release of the original Primal Rage. Mm-hmm. They had changed the control on it a little bit, so it played more like a Street Fighter game.
Right, as opposed to holding the buttons down, you can do motions, then press.
Yeah, and it was, according to Chris Tang, who was one of the creators on it, they had made a few more balancing issues. Have you noticed any of that?
I haven't yet, but I haven't put much time into it. I've played a few games of it, but I've been playing so much other things around the arcade. I haven't really sunk a lot of time into this new Primal Rage yet, and I want to.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time till I dig my talons into it.
It's so cool too, and that one we have set up just because of the complexity of that. Just like Narc, we're not make, and because it's essentially the same game, it doesn't count towards our game counter. That one we can swap in for by request only. Like it's in the cabinet, but we have to
power the machine down to switch it over.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to play Primal Rage 2.3J, just let one of us know. I think only me, you, and Seth know how to change it.
I think so. So see one of us.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be playing that more when I get more time.
Yeah, I hope you do a stream of that, because you're the world record holder in both Primal Rage 1 and 2. I would really hope that you could do a...
differences?
Yeah, like a comparison. Like maybe stream it one night and discuss some of the things that are different between the two. And I know, like, Chris Tang, he would... Totally be. Yeah.
That'd be cool. Cool. Finally, for new games added to the floor that are not Monday Mystery Games, Ironclad for Neo Geo MVS.
Yes. That was a prototype game that they were doing on the MVS, and then they canceled it, and it came out on the...
Was it Neo CD? Or what?
Well, it was done as a Neo CD, but it wasn't until it came out on, what was it? There were some collections that came out.
Oh yeah, it was like a PS2 or Wii or something weird.
It was the Wii
Virtual Console. Yeah,
the Wii Virtual Console.
Yes, that's right.
And it's such a cool game. It got ported back.
Mm-hmm. Unported, basically.
Yeah. For the Neo Geo AES and MVS. Mm-hmm. And very collectible game. Few people know about it. And we were happy to get one. And
it's a pretty cool art style.
It is. Yeah. It's very cool. Very unique game. Mm-hmm. Have you put much time on that?
Or? I have not. I mean, it's been a week since I've been back since vacation. All I've really been playing at the arcade is a little bit of Last Resort. Not much else. Maybe a game of Scramble here or there.
Yeah.
I still like it.
But great game.
I'll probably have to check that out and come here maybe more later.
Very cool.
Cool.
So much to play.
There is. Not enough time. All right. Next up, cabinet upgrades.
Oh, we've been busy with that. We've had Magic Sword, which was in a 2-in-1 cabinet with Knights of the Round. We separated those two, and Magic Sword went in its own dedicated original cabinet with all the artwork, which it's been...
That bezel surround looks pretty cool. Thing around it, yeah.
That was there. We had that on the other cabinet. I think that's actually still in the Knights of the Round cabinet,
okay,
which we should take out. But very cool to have that in there, and the side art is cool. The marquee, having the original marquee and everything. We've been doing a fair amount of separating of
un-two-and-one-ing
that we have.
One-and-two-ing.
We have to almost slow down a little bit because we are running out of space
again, quickly
until the next expansion.
Cool. And then next up, we added a topper to our Time Traveler, thanks to Brandon.
Yeah.
He worked on that.
He did. Huge shout outs to him for making that box. Just makes it look so much more complete.
Next to Holosseum, it looks good.
Yeah, for sure. So
cool.
Thanks, Brandon, for doing that. That was always one that bugged me, and one popped up on eBay and we missed it.
Oh.
And it went over $500 for just the topper. So.
Wow. Okay. Is this considered a cabinet upgrade?
Gauntlet? Yo, yeah. Absolutely. Gauntlet. I remember when we got that cabinet. It was fairly early on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one that... It was an original dedicated cabinet, and it looked... The side art was pretty ripped up.
Mm-hmm.
Marquee had some issues, and control panel was nice. But it was so nice to get all new side art on it, and it was the Five Skulls version, which goes up much higher than the...
All the way to the top of the cabinet almost.
Yeah. The old one, there's a short version and a full version.
The other one stops before the marquee, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that one was seen more on Gauntlet 2 cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
But that was... So it's nice, and I'm so happy now that it's... Especially on the end cap, you get to see that nice artwork. And we got a new marquee and new control panel art as well. Or not control panel. We did the coin door art on that.
Cool.
But again, we've got a lot of projects that we're working on now. We have at least three. No, we've got two more games turning back into four games that are 2-in-1s going into 1-in-1s. And then we've got a new full cabinet. An original dedicated. We have a game in a conversion cabinet right now.
It's going back to a dedicated?
It's going to a very, very rare dedicated cabinet.
Cool.
So rare a cabinet that there was arguments on KLOV whether there was a dedicated cabinet or not.
I like that kind of stuff. It's like urban legend stuff.
Yeah.
I get into that. We had did another un-two-and-one-ing of Vendetta and Crime Fighters as well.
Yeah. Both those...
I was happy about that, because the Vendetta, its sound is coming through perfect now. Because before, it was the 2-in-1 was messing up the sound.
Yeah. There's some of that. Well, I think it's fine to 2-in-1 cabinets, and in some instances...
That one made sense. I mean,
it made sense, yeah. But that one especially, because Konami was using the smaller 4-player cabinet that they used only for... I think it was only for Crime Fighters and Main Event.
Okay.
Had that smaller gauntlet-style control panel.
With the weird layouts?
Yeah. That's
the layout was questionable when I looked at it.
Sure. But that's how it was.
You had limited space.
Yep. That one we initially, even when we unveiled that one, had a reproduction marquee. And since then I've got a new marquee. And it's got new control panel art and bezel. But I'm still actually trying to track down side art for both Vendetta and...
I hope you find that Vendetta side art. It's the live actor side art, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Crime Fighters too, that had live actors.
Did it really? I love all the Konami stuff from that era had the live actors and their cheesy poses.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. I mean, I'm a fan of Konami, like their old era stuff, but those just crack me up.
The Crime Fighters marquee is so... I don't know. There's the one guy that looks like he's got his eyes closed. It looks like he's singing. And he's trying to look all bad and stuff. And it's like...
It's great. It's just so cheesy.
Well done, sir. You do look bad.
Yes. Cool. Well, that's it for cabinet upgrades.
Cool.
A few other announcements we have. We have Hubert coloring books at the front counter.
Yes, that was another one done by the creator of Hubert, Jeff Lee. He has basically created some old Hubert art, some new Hubert art, and put it in a coloring book, and it's so cool. I'm so happy that Jeff continues to do new artwork and make sure he's constantly drawing now, which I know he was still doing drawing before, but like he's so back in the swing of it, and he's posting on Facebook so often. So definitely hit him up on Facebook. He posts little sketches all the time, so he's very creative. So
yeah.
His Hubert coloring book is it's $5.
$5 at the front counter. Yep. Yeah. And I think he autographed them all too.
Yeah, he did. He did. Cool. And he's also has other Hubert cousins.
We have the prints up front, yeah.
Yeah.
The small ones are $5, and I'll say the big ones are like 20 or 15, I forgot.
I think 20.
Yeah, I think 20.
I think the Hubert standing on a disc playing Hubert.
Yeah.
I think that's 20.
Okay. Cool. I will make a link in the show notes, but we have been... Galloping Ghost Arcade has made the top 15 most unusual attractions in Illinois. This is bestthingsofil.com. So check out that article when you get a chance. I wouldn't call us unusual. We're pretty usual. We're of unusual size, but...
Well, you don't see too many arcades. That's They're coming true. Back.
They're coming back. Yeah. Cool. We can get a little more into that later, but we're going to be at Midwest Gaming Classic as always this year.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That is...
It's coming up soon.
Coming up very soon. And
less than a month.
Less than a month.
Yeah.
We will be there. This will be our biggest MGC showing. First and foremost, we are going to be in full force with Dark Presence there.
Cool.
We will have 4 playable characters. Trenton, Wilson, Vale, and Ravana will all be playable. Super excited about this. We've never had our last big showing of it. We did last MGC and New Jersey GamerCon.
Yeah, right.
And honestly, we were in a very tough transition point at that time. And I am so excited for everybody to see it now. It's playing really fun. The guys here are working. Oh, it really has. It really has. Like we were visually, it was looking nice before, but we weren't sure how it was going to play. And then we had this, literally the stuff on Dark Presence. We could do a whole Dark Presence podcast on that. So.
Maybe there should be.
That would be awesome. Yeah. We probably should, because these guys have been working on it really hard.
The Dark Podcast. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
Get all the productions guys together.
Yeah.
Cool.
But we will be bringing, for the arcade side, we're going to be bringing a lot of prototype games. We're going to be bringing a bunch of industry people. Daniel Pacina should be coming with us. Philip, so far, scheduled to appear, brought to you by Galloping Ghost Arcade, is going to be Daniel Pacina, Philip Bond, Brian Colon, Jeff Lee, Tom Malinowski, and Josh Shui, and George Petro.
Wow. Bunch of all-stars.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We're going to be doing panels. We might have Master Tech Seth Young and possibly Doug Fox come out and do a tech demonstration.
That'd be cool.
Definitely a lot of panels, a lot of cool stuff. So okay. We're super excited for MGC.
Yep, I will leave a link in the show notes for MGC. It's coming up April 7th, 8th, and 9th.
We have to figure out how you can come to Pete.
Really?
Oh yeah, man. I'd love to do a podcast out there.
Okay. That sounds good. The week before that, we've got our own event here, Williams Valley Midway Week. We just announced it.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a good event.
Oh, it's going to be great.
We haven't done a manufacturer tournament in a while.
No.
It's been months.
It's overdue.
Been like, how long has it been?
T20?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a while. So, I think, there's such a big variety in those companies. Like, William Valley Midway, there's so many games we can pick from.
Yeah.
And we've already been discussing. So it'll
be good. Oh, yeah. 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely one of those things that I hope if people are going to be playing over several days, like, get a week pass. And, we want people to get really involved in this and have a lot of fun with it and get the competition levels back up to where they should be. And our last tournament's been unfortunate that there's not more people participating.
Yeah, I'd like to see people get into those more. Like, it used to be like 15 people and like 5 people would stay till close and grind out. It's like, you know, I understand time is precious, but anything we can do to make you guys want to, you know, hang out more, or, you know, if you guys want food from us or if you want something else like that we can do, like, give us feedback on that.
Absolutely.
You know, I'd like to see more of a turnout and more you know, a harder fight. You know, we can't just be handing these tournaments all to Massey's lately.
Right. And not that he doesn't deserve them.
Yeah.
But definitely we're taking pre-registrations on this one. And if you pre-register, we'll give you, what'd I say?
Two free drinks. Yep.
So, yeah, it's definitely it's going to be a very, very fun tournament.
Cool. And that's the week before MGC, March 27th through April 1st. So it runs Monday through Saturday.
Yeah, that's a lot going on.
Yep. So we have an update. Did you want to spill the beans? All right.
I'll let you do it.
Okay, so the hardcore champion, Jeff Pennington, has relinquished his title.
Yes. Huge thanks to him for doing that, too,
yeah.
Because he called and was... Not, he doesn't think he'll be able to get back out here, and rather than just...
Halt
the hardcore championship. He turned it back over to Jeremiah, who...
He turned it over to Tom. So Tom is the interim champ.
Yeah.
Tom Waffles. And he's at the arcade tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight is Friday, so I don't know when this will be posted, but hopefully we can get this out soon. But I will. We'll probably make an announcement on Facebook, too, about this, right?
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
So if you're itching for that belt, then you got to get in here and challenge.
And for those that are, we've had a few people say that they're unaware of what the hardcore championship is.
Yeah. So what I'll do, I'll leave a link in the show notes. It explains exactly how it works. But the short of it is it's a belt that anyone can win. We choose a random game. You go up to whoever the champion is, or if you don't know who it is, ask us at the front. You know, we'll pick a random game from all the games on the arcade floor, and you get matched up in a random game, and you play each other if it's a fighting game or a versus game, and if not, you play for highest score. And the winner takes the belt.
And we have a little plaque at the front counter.
Yep.
With cards of who the current champion is. And it's been a lot of fun, and it's been great seeing casuals take the belt away from somebody who's here all the time, and you never know who's going to win it.
Yep.
And it's we've had over 50 matches.
Yeah, last Saturday we had, I think, over 50 that one day.
Yeah.
I mean, some days it's slower when there's not a big turnout, but it's there's days where there's more than 50 matches.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
That is. It's really cool. Yeah. It's I'm so happy that so many people have been getting into it and inquiring about it, and it's just been a lot of fun.
Cool. All right. So we'll look to see who's going to be holding the belt come Monday.
Yeah. Definitely, I would expect tonight and tomorrow the belt will be going back and forth. So.
Cool. So you don't think Tommy's going to hold on to it long? Is that what you're saying?
Well, nobody holds on to it for that long.
It's designed to be hard to hold on to.
Right, yeah. Right. It's
a random game. You can't know every game here.
For sure.
Yeah. Cool. So finally, we have Battle of the Arcades coming up at the end of April.
Yes, very excited for that. This is the second time we're participating in the Battle of the Arcades. First time was so much fun. This time, there's going to be... As it's getting closer, we're going to be kind of tightening up on things and doing a little bit more planning. I know we had been talking earlier. Do you want to go into it today? Or?
Yeah, maybe we should do a whole separate thing on it. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, there's a lot to say about Battle of the Arcades.
There definitely is.
Let's just say this. If you're looking to participate in it, talk to Doc or me. And we will tell you what it's all about. I'll leave a link in the show notes to the site. But basically, Battle of the Arcades is 12 different games. They've already been chosen. And it's a team event, but basically you're playing against your teammates for qualifying positions in the finals, or for your final standings. I like the way this competition's laid out, because even if you call in a ringer, let's just say you call up someone who's a master of whatever game and you get him to come in and destroy everyone in the one game, it doesn't really matter if he's not good at all the other games as well. So it takes a well-rounded player to do well in this competition, which is awesome, which is, you know, I think that promotes a good competition.
Absolutely.
So we have a lot of our regulars that have already decided they would like to represent us. But if you're able to come in and dedicate 2 12-hour days to grinding out some arcade games at the end of April, you know, talk to Doc or me, and we'll let you know what it's about.
Yeah.
But we should definitely talk about more later. Maybe we'll do podcasts with some of the guys that have already decided they want to play.
I think that'd be an excellent thing.
Cool. All right. So is the Dark Presence updates? Is that what you're going to talk about next? Is that with in regards to MGC or separate updates?
We can
skip these.
Yeah.
Okay.
And go down to
this one.
Yeah. We just received notice from the Red Bull channel that I don't know, some people might remember that we filmed a documentary here. The camera crew was filming for a week.
A few months ago.
The build of Arena, yes. Which was an unreleased prototype game.
Is that Gottlieb?
It is Gottlieb.
Okay.
It was not something that, even still, we haven't really mentioned it too much.
You've been hush-hush about it, yeah.
We have, and that was at Red Bull's request that we don't go too in-depth on it, but... Basically, there was a lot that went into that build-out of Arena, and the full story will be told on April 10th on the Red Bull channel.
Awesome.
And I believe they did a 10-part mini-series on video gaming, and we were chosen as one full episode. So
that's really cool.
Yep.
All right, look for that. Next up, you've been on a few warehouse raids lately. Just recently, you were on one.
Yeah. It's been so interesting that...
Undisclosed locations, right?
Yeah.
People sometimes ask, where do you go for these games?
Where are you going? It's been excellent. It's so funny. The last two, we went back to the same place, and must say that been getting some great deals, some stuff that... We were always kind of on the fence about, and now with the upcoming expansion, it was like, oh no, we gotta have this. And huge shout outs to the guys that have been selling this stuff to us, just because they've been so generous with not only pricing, but just they want to see these games back in circulation and people enjoying them. And it's so cool of them to do all the things that they do for us and help us get these games in front of people. And some of the stuff that we have coming up is just so awesome.
I've seen some of it, and it's good. Like,
yeah.
It's really good.
And even helping us get some of the games that, like Liberator. Liberator's been down for a little bit. We managed to pick up a bunch of, a few Gottlieb boards and a Liberator board.
So you got some more parts for it then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we hope to have Liberator back up. And Liberator boards, they're, you never see them. And it was basically practically given to us just
wow.
because they're trying to help out, and that's so cool of them. And I'm always so amazed at how so many people are just so supportive, and it's we're very fortunate. So
cool.
But yeah, the vaults are overflowing with good stuff, and as soon as the next expansion. First thing, we're going to thin out some of the areas, and then
mm-hmm.
fill up
the rest.
Fill up the rest.
Cool. All right. So you wrote this in here, but I'm not sure which ones you're talking about. Any new locations, new
yeah.
arcades opening?
We've been having so many people contact us about opening new arcades, and I must say, I'm so backed up with getting
Everything.
Back to people. Of who are trying to open arcades. There's Australia and all over the places. So many arcades are trying to open now, which I'm so happy to see and hear. And I'm still working on this set of basically like audio recordings of just some insight, and I should be releasing those soon. I'm doing a big one right now on buying and selling arcade games, and one of the big things that everybody asks is what games should they get, and
that's a really tough question too.
It's a great question, and it's something that has been making it difficult as far as recording, because the list of topics. It's just hours and hours and hours.
What is the answer to that question? Is it an hour-long question? Like, what game should I get? I think it's supposed
to be. In short, yes.
What kind of customers do you want to attract, I think, is how you answer that, right?
Well, it's one of those things where you have to figure out what kind of place you want.
Right.
And who you want to attract and how. There's a lot of. It's very funny because like I go on a lot about like you need to really examine yourself and your mentality of how you're gonna work, how you're gonna run a business, what you want your business to be. Some people want a very quiet arcade. Some people want the like our level,
mm-hmm.
and it's easy to want that. But if you don't understand how you work. It becomes much harder to get there. So there's a lot of self-examination and a lot of questions that get thrown out, and then I try to go through answers that I've already heard from people that we've helped open arcades and examine the pitfalls that people get into. So it's a lot of information, and I'm trying to put a little bit of post-production on it, and it's taking more time than I thought it was going to,
mm-hmm.
because it's very comprehensive. But if, again, as anybody is interested, feel free to shoot me an email, and we'll give you a link to that as soon as it's ready.
Is this going to be something you're going to be distributing like a physical disc that people buy from you, or is it going to be a digital download, or
you'll be able to download it?
Okay.
It's one of those. It might go in phases. Like I might break it down into much smaller sections,
okay.
because it is we've had people travel in from out of town and out of state and spend like a Saturday with us,
mm-hmm.
and it's been interesting to hear all the questions, and it's one of those, we're still very open to doing that, but the amount of people that are wanting us to do it, it's becoming a very time-consuming thing in itself, so.
Okay. Got it. let's talk for a little bit about Orcade. So our last episode was totally, almost, I mean, the big topic was that we had acquired Orcade.
Yes.
And there's a lot going on in the background right now.
Yes.
But is there anything that we should be telling people in the meanwhile, like what to expect and what we're waiting for?
And I should mention David Hernley, founder of Orcade, yes, was here just the other day.
Yes.
And huge shout outs to him for creating such a wonderful site and community. We are still working on doing complete site redesign. There's so many features that everybody has suggested and that we've wanted to see go into the site. There's going to be a fair amount of changes that'll take place, but there's a lot of different ways to track a lot of different information.
What about locations that are wanting to get a referee at their location in the future? What should they do in the meanwhile?
Definitely contact us now.
Okay.
Get in touch with either myself or you,
mm-hmm,
and we can get you queued up, and we're more than happy to get you set up now, but there are going to be a lot of changes, but we can start ahead of time to get you prepped and get you ready to go as soon as the site redrops,
mm-hmm,
and we're more than happy to help. It's extra work to get you running now, but we're more than happy to do that. So,
cool.
I want to start having us go around a little bit and visiting other arcades and them. Absolutely,
yeah.
Because it's so important, and there's so many great arcades that are out there that we can get them involved and get more places involved and more people and just grow it.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of different areas. And this topic especially, I think, warrants its own podcast very soon. Just because, well, even the conversation me and you were having the other day.
Yeah. Just about how to handle specifics of games, like what are we going to need to look at?
Yeah.
Like it's going to be, it'll take a while, but it's the kind of thing where we love this kind of stuff. Like, we want players to want to have fun when they get here. We don't want them to be, oh, I got to play this game, I got to sit on the same screen and flip a domino 100 times.
Right.
You know, we don't want you to have to do that to have fun.
In doing that, though, like, we don't want to ever get rid of achievements that have been...
Right. That's what we were kind of focused on. We didn't want to say, hey, we're disregarding everything that's happened before. We still want to acknowledge what has been done in the past.
But in some of the stuff, just because it's been done in the past, I think there's better ways to do it. And there'll be a little bit of a transition period. And I really hope that people don't become... There's going to be change.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure that people aren't becoming concerned about things that they don't need to be, because we want to be very vocal about what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Yeah.
And it's a long-term thing. And as much as I love the way scoring, there's been decades of scoring, and that's awesome, but there's some inherent flaws with how it's always been done. And I think it's been too loose, and I think if we tighten it up a lot,
mm-hmm,
there might be a little bit of growing pains, but I think at the end of it, in the long term, it'll be so focused and so structured and so, like,
more credible too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's always, like, one of the big things is the definitives of scoring. And I think we can really grow Arcadian to be something very special and something that is much needed for the community, and literally, like, starting the new level of what scoring communities should be.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of work, but I actually can't. This is one of the things that, like, I really get into and can't wait to get into. Like, wait to start up with.
It is going to be. Mm-hmm. We want to examine every game, and even now, there's specifics on games that we find
Like just yesterday, we were looking at Galaxian.
Yeah, and like, it's like
there's two board revisions that we can't set our dips to the current settings that are on Orcade, so we had to make our own track.
Right.
I mean, we have to look at that for every game.
And there's just not enough information, and each game people gloss over them, and it's like there's no more glossing over. This is scoring is too important to too many people to just let it kind of go along haphazardly. And I think if we become to the point where this is the way it's going to be. Mm-hmm. It's like Smash TV. What ROM revision do you have?
Well, I don't know. Track.
Well, if you don't know your ROM revision, you can't put in scores.
Yeah, where there's a different track for the version 8.
So, right.
So just like Scramble, we were just talking about that too. There's Konami and Stern. They play so differently. Like scores on Konami should be twice as high as the one in the Stern version.
Stuff
for
like
the same player.
People can saying it's default settings. Mm-hmm. Or what region board are you using on a Capcom fighting game? Because
its default is different.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's
now that we know some of these things, we can look for them.
And we really want Orcade to be the pinnacle of. You don't need to go anywhere else. Like, we want the referees to be in more locations. We want it to be to mean something, to be part of the Orcade community.
Yeah, and we're going to reference the other scoreboards too. So if we won't be saying, oh, we don't recognize anyone else. We'll recognize them. You know, we're not going to say, hey, everyone else is just not there.
Absolutely.
But we're going to do it better. That's all.
And not just within the U.S. It's mm-hmm. like globally, like they call it, it's a world record. Yeah. Well, it's a world record, maybe within the U.S. It's like we have to start. We've been growing such a strong fan base out in Japan. And getting so much credibility over there, like it's been tremendous. And once we can get Japanese players putting in scores and players from other countries, it's like it takes it again. Like that's not happening currently. Like other scoring houses don't acknowledge, and even Orcade, it was like, well, we're not set up to figure out if that score is credible. Mm-hmm. And now's the time to be like, yeah, we're going to put the time on it and find out and get more people involved, because it's cool to have our local community, but to grow it into something much bigger, it's long overdue. So long overdue.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So look for that. It'll be coming up. Last thing before we get into our next topic. I see achievement books on your list of topics.
Yes, I have to give a shout out to Chris Platchy because he's been
plugging away.
Yeah, he's right at the point where he'll probably be the first person to claim the free arcade cabinet for his house.
That's 10,000 points, right?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
He just did the Shadow Dancer run yesterday.
Did he get it?
He did. He finally
awesome.
Finished the first level of Shadow Dancer without killing any enemies.
Yep.
He also got our get the 2,000 point bonus on Turkey Shoot, and he's right there. So anxious to see.
I think he's around 9,800 now. He's right up there.
Yeah. It's gonna be good. It's.
I wonder what game else he'll get.
I don't know. It's going to be the way me and him we'll have to discuss that because there's some stipulations with it. So.
You can't pick Chimera Beast?
No. but it's great. You know what one of the coolest things, I was looking at which achievements that he was getting, and he was... My favorite ones that I saw that he got was probably he's done so many of the World Warrior achievements.
Yeah.
Which, that makes me so happy.
Yep. He's been to all the other places, yeah.
He hasn't been to Star Worlds yet.
Oh, okay.
But I think we have 5 World Warrior achievements now.
Yeah.
It's like go to Pixel Blast and go to Underground. And it's like, how cool is that? And he's going to different arcades every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's like so cool. So we really appreciate when people do that and support other arcades as well, because it's while we love people playing it at our place, we do want them to go check out those other arcades and Underground and Pixel Blast and Star Worlds and
anyone else.
Boss Battle Games and Geeks Mania. Like, all those places do such a tremendous job that we want everybody to get out there, and the more arcades you visit, that'll eventually spawn more arcades opening up. It's a safe, viable business. So
cool. Well, awesome. Shout outs to Chris.
Yeah.
All right. So we are done with our announcements and events. Let's head into Monday Mystery Games.
Oh, one more thing on that. Oh. We have a Spectre Files update.
We do?
Yes.
Okay.
We are, after a slight hiatus, we are back on track with Spectre Files. The unreleased 1984 Brian Colan game. So, we'll be doing a big post on that fairly soon.
Will it be showing any more at MGC?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll have a nice showing at MGC for that, too. So.
Okay, cool. All right. Now, Monday Mystery Games and tournament winners. All right, first up, way back on the 30th of January, we had Rockin' Rope.
Wow. Yeah, Rockin' Rope. Great game.
We had a decent turnout for that one, too. Jeff Lucas came out.
There was surprisingly a lot of people were playing really excited for it.
Yeah.
And we've had that go into the...
Those old Bump and Jump Cab, right?
Yes.
Okay.
When we got a new dedicated Bump and Jump.
Yep.
We picked that up from Vince Scalabrino.
Cool.
So the Rock and Rope, yeah, that was... we've had the board for a while. We put new side art on it. We found the original side art and had that printed up. Definitely a fun game from Konami.
Cool. Mozzie's won that one.
Yep. Congrats to him.
Yep. Next up, we have Tecmo Knight.
Tecmo Knight, we picked up at a while back out in Decatur.
Is that a dedicated cabinet?
Yes.
Oh, it looks cool. Yeah, I was going to say. Looks like it is.
So many of those games used the Dynamo cabinet.
Mm-hmm. Before they're dedicated. Right.
That was another one. Great game. Not many people knew about
it. It's pretty tough.
It's a tough game.
Yeah.
Bloody intro, too. Very mm-hmm. cool. Very cool.
Bloody end of game, like when you die, like the
The jaws. Teeth.
Yeah. That was our Monday Mystery Game on the 6th of February, and Mozzie's won that one too. So Mozzie's has been crushing the 10X as of late.
Yeah.
On the 13th, we had Genryu.
Yes.
Genryu? How do you say it?
Genryu.
Okay.
Released on the Neo Geo MVS. We picked up that MVS cabinet, a 4-slot, also out in Decatur. And Genryu was the first game that we put in there.
Yep. And the next week we put in a second game, which was Last Resort.
And a great shmup.
Yes.
Very fun. Requested by you and Martin Alessi, both requested that one.
Yes.
And one, great game.
Yep.
And then we put Ironclad also in that MVS. And there's one more slot still open in there.
So
until I switch it to a 6-slot.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Unless I get another MVS.
That's always possible.
We've got at least a couple more MVS carts.
Oh, that's so right, yeah.
Some good stuff coming up.
Cool. both of those MVS titles went to Mozzie's as well. Next up on the 27th, Ripoff. I missed this launch. I was out of town.
Ripoff and Laser Ghost both went up the same day,
mm-hmm.
and were both... Monday Mystery Games. We did not announce. You had to be at
here at the arcade.
You had to be here at the arcade to be aware of the other Monday Mystery game. Mm-hmm. Laser Ghost we got from Tennessee. Where did we get it from?
One of those states.
Somewhere. I think Tennessee. No, definitely Tennessee.
Okay.
Or Georgia.
That's a cool looking cabinet. Like the technology like in that sight is pretty cool.
That it's so innovative. It's a three-player light gun or three-player shooting game. Mm-hmm. It came out in 1989. The cabinet is monstrous, and just such a cool game. It came out on the Master System, and that was the only console port of it. Visually, it had a very Alien Storm, Golden Axe kind of feel to it. But yeah, the guns on it are just awesome. They've got this mirror reflecting a laser inside of it.
And the laser effect is timed really nicely with your shot, too. It's yeah. Like it looks like you're shooting it out of the gun.
Yeah. So and it's the cool laser effect. Doesn't show, it only shows in your little mirrored gun.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you don't see it on screen. You just see the impact burst on screen.
Right.
So, if you were not playing that on the original dedicated cabinet, you'd never even know that was there.
Yeah. So. That's a benefit to having the original.
Yep.
Cool.
Ripoff. Mm-hmm. Interesting point on Ripoff is that it was the last game that we got of our initial 114 games that we picked up out in Iowa. And it's an old Cinematronics game that came out in 1980.
Is that a vector monitor?
It's a black and white, yeah.
Okay.
It was very problematic. Like, the board had issues, the monitor had issues, the power supply had issues. Very cool game, very unique. It was a very early co-op game. Plays a little bit like Asteroids, and huge shout-outs to Doug Fox for getting that board working for us. And we were so close to getting rid of it so many times. Like, every time I saw it in storage, it was just kind of like, I don't know if we're ever going to get to this. Maybe we should just dump it and sell it off and let it be somebody else's problem. And I'm so happy we did, because it is such a cool, fun game.
I haven't checked it out yet, but I found it strange that there was no single-player track on TG. There was just a two-player track, a co-op track. It was weird.
It's a fairly popular game amongst collectors, mm-hmm. and it's got that Asteroids feel to it, and a lot of fun. For me, it made me go through a lot of pictures of the day we drove out. It was all the production guys. We drove out in our Penske trucks and loaded up 114 machines and drove them back. And
it's good memories.
Yeah, it really was. It's great to see those pictures. And there's so many pictures.
Can I see them?
Yeah, I think we might make a
collage or something.
A photo book on Facebook of some early stuff that nobody's ever seen before.
Yeah, as I say, I've been here a while, but I missed that part of it.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened and what was going on there.
Seeing the arcade back when it opened, before it opened, when it was set up to be the pool hall, the Green Pocket. It's just so bizarre looking at it now and how much has changed.
I've seen a few pictures of like, so, like it was taken at the entryway where the register was being put together, I think.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see more.
Oh, there's shots of, like, all the games are just in a row, mm-hmm. where I was, like, pulling them off to fix them and stuff. And there's no power or lights.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had to use, like, one portable light and stuff.
You had to use a candle?
Yeah.
Around the arcade.
Fixing arcade cabinets by candlelight.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And Mossy's won Ripoff.
Mm-hmm.
And it just a monster. Mm-hmm. And he will probably be the 20X champ if somebody doesn't.
He's got 7 now, I want to say.
It's something like that.
Yeah, I'll have to double check the number. But I think he's at 7.
Huge shout outs. I'm surprised other people aren't.
They're not stepping up.
That's
well, last week we had a couple of people step up. James and Peter and Pete just last week were going back and forth on Guardian, our newest Monday mystery game.
Yeah.
So that was a good battle.
That's not familiar with that game.
Yeah.
I had saw it on Craigslist out in.
Looks very, very hard.
It's not. It is until you.
You get it.
You get it.
Right.
Like, once you
so
get
people
it.
People getting used to up to jump, I hear is a big complaint about that game instead of a button.
Yeah.
I don't mind up to jump, but, like, Russian Attack is, like, it feels natural to me.
Right.
Yeah.
That's one of the teach their own. Like,
yeah.
If people don't get it, that's how it plays. Like, nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you could wire it to a button, but we're not going to.
You can do it if you had MAME.
You could.
Might as well learn it the right way.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, but cool game, cool enemies in that game, Guardian, and it's in a game plan cabinet, which it never had a dedicated cabinet.
It's a kit, yeah.
It's a kit game.
Yeah.
But very cool. I like the enemy design in it for some reason.
Out there, yeah.
They're weird fighters, weird creatures.
Excellent. Cool. So Peter Gores ended up winning that, our current Gamer of the Year. James put a great score up, but then left for the night, and Gores came back after dinner and plugged away at it for a couple hours.
Yeah.
So he ended up taking that. James has since claimed the score back, but not that Monday.
Yeah. So. Well, shout out to a huge congrats to Pete.
Yep.
Hard to leave scores sitting there.
Yeah, it's when, risky.
Gamers of the Year are floating around.
They were floating all over the place.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that does it for Monday Mystery Games. Let's get into new high scores.
Excellent. There's a lot.
Yep. Yeah. So, you want to start us off?
Yeah, let's... you actually have the first one with a 1cc, and did you didn't even lose a round in this, right?
Yeah, you have to get the biggest bonus. The 10 mil bonus is only if you don't lose a round.
Yeah, and Super Muscle Bomber from Capcom, which...
That's an awesome game.
It really is. Saturday Night Slam Masters
it's
and Super Muscle Bombers.
No one else is really
the International Blowout.
Yes. Yeah, it's got a great name.
Yeah, and you put up over 12 million in that.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah. I still play it from time to time because it's just a lot of fun. Like doing the ridiculous like Scorpion grapple move where he takes you off the screen. It doesn't get old. Like it does so much damage. You have to laugh every time you hit it.
Yeah. That game went up at our at the last expansion,
yep.
And it's one of those. Oh man, there's so many games to play.
Yep. Yeah, that's a fun one. I'll go back and play it more. I'm sure.
Yeah.
So next up we have Seth Young claiming the Death Race world record officially.
Yes.
41 points. That's pretty awesome.
It really is. And he had come in. He was getting really close to. Breaking the score.
I remember one time he did a run and he broke the score but wasn't recording as well.
Yeah.
He got like 38 once or something.
Yeah.
I want to say and didn't record it and sort of like, oh crap, you know.
Well, and that's one of those things where
We have to record it.
Yeah. He's one of our guys and we are going to put the burden of proof on us first and foremost.
We have to.
It's one of those where if we let something like that go by, we don't want people saying like, oh, well, you let this happen for one of your guys.
Why can't I do that for me?
There's none of that going on. This, like, Danielle has been back on playing Flicky.
She's recording.
She went in the first day and she played without it. I'm like, you know, if you're not recording, I'm not going to say you have the world record.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just can't.
Yeah,
it's got
to
be.
We can't appear to be showing favoritism, even if we're not.
With scores, there cannot be any favoritism. It has to be. Personalities don't matter. Who the person is doesn't matter. What they've done in the past doesn't matter. It's going to be. First and foremost, where's your video?
Yeah, I mean that's. If you're a regular here, and it's gonna, I think we're gonna be asking that for a lot of locations. Like if you're claiming world record, you just have to have a video.
Absolutely.
We need that on file in case it's ever questioned. We're still going to have there's still the debate of whether that video is going to be public or not. But
right.
That we can get to that at a later point. But
yeah.
We need to have the proof for now.
Absolutely.
So congrats to Seth.
And then he turned around. Him and Brad Williams
got the two-player world record.
Two-player world record, which seeing them play.
It's pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, it's so cool. It's so cool.
They got it pretty quickly when they started playing that day. Like, the third game, I want to say.
Like, that's... Seth has really honed his skills, and I was talking with Brad about... he's amazing as well. Like,
yeah.
He's working on Death Race and Warlords.
He's up to 33 on his single-player score now. That's one behind the old world record.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's right up there.
Well, so much of it, and the more I hear from... people were saying... about how the FunSpot's machine was not working perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And ours was also not working perfectly. And Seth was saying, oh, we have to, maybe we can get Ken to recreate the Opto wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny because I was at storage that day, and I had specifically bought a extra steering wheel control panel from an old demolition derby machine that had the Aptos on there. And I'm like, Seth, run down, go to storage, and you go here, it's in here. I have brand new Aptos down there. And he came back, and it was like two games later, he's like, oh, I got it now. And it's like,
nice.
A nice working machine does so work. Much.
Yeah.
And it's like, if your steering isn't perfect, it's going to hurt you. Yeah. So, like, it's so important.
Yeah, definitely. That two-player world record, both videos are on our YouTube channel,
yep.
If you want to check them out. But they're fun to watch. And it's a short game. It's, like, 2 minutes for the 99 seconds to pass. So, yeah. Like, just take a look, and I'll try linking those in the show notes as well.
Cool.
But, yeah, shout-outs to Seth and Brad.
Yeah. And then you had another one. You did the first double loop completion of Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yes.
Yeah. That's so awesome. That is like such a tough game, and congratulations for doing it. And the funny thing, and this is one of those things, what it ties heavily into Orcade, because like the score that you got on that, didn't even make the card, and it's like nobody else's double loop cleared that game.
I don't know that for sure, but Martin might have when he did his score. I didn't
really.
Yeah, because you I think you were the one that saw his updated score. I saw his first day score.
Yeah.
When he was over 300,000, like I'm not sure what that was. That might have been a day where I wasn't here, but
okay.
I know that there's a lot of contention with that game. I mean, the scores are super competitive on that card, and there's a lot of ways to point press. But there's a way where you can basically play endlessly if you just get to the last level and don't pick up the ultimate weapon to fight the last boss.
Right.
You just play that level over and over until you get that weapon.
Right.
So, I mean, if that tactic's being used, you can potentially score as much as you want. There's replays of over 1 million points on YouTube.
Right. Well, and that's another thing that we want Orcade to show. And when we define that, I think it's going to change things.
We should do like a 5-life track for that game. I think TG has one on MAME. They have a 5-life only.
Yeah.
And that's competitive.
That'll be that and Castlevania. There's going to be so many games that we define the rules differently early. So it's anxious. I'm anxious to get working on that.
Yeah, I was considering going back and trying to get the score, but that just doesn't seem fun to me.
Yeah.
Like, I experienced what that game has to offer, and, you know, power to the guys that have their names on the card. They, you know, they got a higher score. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Sure.
Next up, we've got Jonathan Salida. We have a new King of Dragons high score, 586-100. He's been slowly improving that. He took that away originally from Peter Gores. So,
didn't he request that? Weren't we outside?
No, that was a different gentleman from out of town.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that game was requested a couple times by a few players.
Awesome that Jonathan did that. That's great score.
So next up, we have a gentleman by the name of Sylvain Laporte, who's from Canada. He put up quite a few scores. His first one he put up was a new house high on Black Tiger.
Yeah, that was...
It's a good score, too. I mean, we did some research because he's like, I'm getting to the game, I'm point pressing as much as I can, I'm a million points away from this world record, and we both found out that there's a version of the game that... The Japanese version of the game, you get 1 million points for killing the last boss. You don't in the U.S. one, but there's basically like a board that's kind of like a hybrid. It says Black Tiger, not Black Dragon, but you still get the 1 million point bonus.
Yeah.
And that's the version they have at Funspot. So the two top scores were both done at Funspot because you get 1 million points for killing the last boss.
Yeah.
And they're both over like 2.4 million. So he's like, if I were playing on that board, I'd have the score.
Yeah.
So we probably should separate those scores at some point.
Right. That's, again, there's so many games that need more information put into them, and it is going to be a long process of
that's another one
sorting it all out, but we are going to do that, and it's going to take some time, but I can't, it's one of those that it's going to be well worth it once it happens.
Definitely. The other score that Sylvain put up was Chimera Beast, which I found his score really impressive because he only played it for like 2 or 3 days while he was in town. He got 29 million and some change on that game. He made it to level 7, which is really, it's great. He kind of dug into that game and every day just got a little bit further. But finally on his last day, I watched his run. He did great.
Yeah, talking to those guys, there was four of them that came in from
Canada.
From Quebec.
Quebec, yeah.
And literally from the first 2 minutes talking to them, they were like, they're super nice
passionate
guys.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we drove in, and it's like, we're going to be here for a handful of days, and
they had a hotel right down the block, and I'm like, okay, you guys want the week passes. You're going to be here 3 days playing. You don't want to spend, you know, it'll be less, so.
Yeah. But it was such a cool time talking with them, and we tried to make it, hearing how passionate they were, like, we got Jeff Lee to come in and meet with them, we got Daniel Piscina to come in and meet with them, and it's so cool when people do that, and we're happy to go above and beyond, like, when people are that passionate about video gaming.
Oh, for sure, they were just delighted to talk to those guys, like, especially Daniel Piscina, they were like, oh my god, you know,
yeah.
They didn't want to leave, I don't think.
Yeah. I still have, you know, I have pictures from when they were here that I hadn't posted. I have so many pictures of stuff that's been going on. I've got to make just kind of like a recap post of all the people that have been here. Like, so
that you know, I had an idea that we should do like a digital guest book type thing. If you want to visit and post your picture type thing.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. It'd be cool. All right.
Then you had you put up a new Scramble House High score, right?
Yeah, this was the best game I've had in, like, I can't come close to this anymore. I've tried. Like, I can't even get within 100,000 of that.
Really?
Yeah. That game, I got to the 14th loop, I want to say.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. My overall score was 339,000 and some change. I was happy to get that, but I don't know if I'll ever get that again.
Oh, you will.
I don't know. It's kind of a long game, too, when you're...
You're being modest.
I don't know. I've tried. I've tried. Like, I've played at MAME at home. I'm not hitting 200,000 when I get home. Like, it's
at MAME at home.
It's different because the screen isn't as big, and it's not the same that you're not standing at the cabinet.
Right.
It's a little better to play here, but I was really happy to get that. Though I already had the house high, but I wanted to keep going because I really like the game still.
That's fun.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. Next up, we've got John Ocampo put up two scores, two new house highs on the 22nd. To TimCom, he put up 140,000 and 80 points.
That's awesome. Shout-outs to John. He's been here a bit more.
Yeah, ever since we got the hardcore belt, he's been challenging and coming up more.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun getting to watch him play.
Him and his family.
Yeah, it's awesome.
At the same day, he put up a new house high on Championship Sprint, 16,860, so that's our new house high on both 2-10-com and Championship Sprint in one day.
Excellent.
So congrats to John.
Absolutely.
Next up, we've got Tommy Waffles, Tom Nieder.
Yep.
He beat the Ganryu score. He's got 101,900. The score he beat was Massey's score from the Monday Mystery Game.
Yeah.
So he's finally got a world record.
Congrats to him for that.
Yep. Tom, you get a shout-out for once in your life.
Just shout-outs to Tom Waffles. Then you got another... Was it a world record and you beat the first loop?
I have beaten the first loop on Last Resort. I have not beat the second loop. I've been playing it a little bit and practicing it. I might take a break from it for now because the second loop is a decent step up in difficulty and it's kind of burning me out. So I might take a little break.
Yeah.
But I did beat the first loop.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yep. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, the video is on YouTube.
Tough game.
If you want to see that. It can be tough, yeah. If you know, it's not so bad.
Out of the box, it's tough.
Like, yeah, once right. Exactly. It's tough out of the box once you learn a few things and how to use the orb to protect yourself and use it to travel the terrain, then you'll get it. Like, it's a little bit of getting used to, a little bit of a learning curve, but if you put in a little time, it's very rewarding. Like, you'll it's not super hard. If you can beat Gradius, you can beat Last Resort. But it's a lot of fun. I recommend it. Next up, Kevin Williamson was out on the 25th, who upped his own Mace the Dark Age world record. He once CC'd it before, but he's like, I can do better. If I you know, extend my combos longer and don't miss any fatalities, I'll beat my score. And he beat his own score, which is cool.
It's awesome.
Yep. So 7,490 is the Mace world record.
Yeah, excellent.
Next up, we've got Masi's upping the Alien Storm world record, 782. I believe Jeremiah had around 780 or so before. He barely beat it, I think.
Actually,
didn't you have a higher score?
Yeah, I had. It was funny. I had. I think I had 1,100 something.
What?
And or I hit my. I think my old score was like 1,090.
An Alien Storm?
Yeah.
Okay.
And.
Was that after you decided you weren't going to score anymore?
Well, I had put in a new score, and I think Mike put it in, and I didn't have a video of it, so I deleted it, and it took my old score with it. So, yeah. Masi's can have it.
For now?
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Okay.
We'll see.
Cool. Next up. Peter Gore's A New House High on versus Super Mario Brothers. 1,026,900 points. I didn't see that run. I don't know if there's a video. Hopefully we can find a video for that because he's really good at platformers in general.
Yeah.
So I wonder.
That is one we do really have to re-look at because, well, not only do we have to record it, but I know we had that dip issue with it for a long time.
Oh, the timer speed dip issue,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that one we need to double check for 100% accuracy.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of like stipulations too. You can't just kick the same turtle shell more than twice. You
right.
can't stair-step the turtles. You can't do a lot for the
right.
rules in that game. Who do we have next? Oh, our own Eddie Perez beat the Rumblefish 2 world record. I believe Norbert held that before.
Yeah. Hopefully Norbert will come back in and
try to take that back.
Yeah. That's a fun game.
So Eddie did 1,074,100 points on March 1st on that.
Shout outs to Eddie for that.
Definitely. I like that all of our guys here really kind of get into scoring. That's kind of
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Next up, we had a visit. Well, I unfortunately was out of town and I didn't see any of these scores live, but you were here.
Yeah.
For Michael Dietrich.
Yes. He's a great guy. So fun to talk with. He's got such a vast knowledge of.
What an impressive player, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He played Qbert for 14 hours.
Yeah.
He was playing, we got Jeff Lee to come out, and that was just a lot of fun. He was talking, just saying that he was getting, it was probably like 10 o'clock already, and he's getting tired and hungry, and so we ordered pizza for him and stuff.
I tuned into the stream while on vacation. I saw him grab a slice of pizza, because Qbert is, it was designed to be this way, where you could eat or drink while playing.
Yeah.
It's just the joystick.
But right, right.
I tuned in for a minute and it was like, that's awesome. He's going. He ended up putting over 6 million up on Qbert that day.
Yeah.
Which was insane. He more than doubled the house high.
Yeah, just unbelievable.
He put up 6 house highs while he was in town, I think. Yeah, 6. So let me go over all of Michael's scores real quick. Rock and Rope, he put up 179,320. Gyrus, a massive score, 1,345,800. Then that Qbert score we just talked about. Pac-Man Plus, 605,360. Time Pilot, 1,148,600. And finally, Asteroids, 214,980. So that's a total of 6 house highs in the span of like 2 or 3 days.
That's unbelievable.
I think he cracked the top 20 power rankings with his one visit.
That's excellent.
Isn't it? That's awesome.
That's super impressive.
Yeah.
That's like, that says a lot when a player can come in. And with so many great players that have traveled in here, and to do that and put up so many great scores so quickly, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the guy knows his stuff. I actually talked to him, originally met him out in Iowa for the Man vs. Snake premiere. And,
yeah.
We talked a little bit. I ended up giving him a guest pass. I'm like, hey, come out. You know, I'm sure you'd like the place. And sure enough, he came out. So it was great to see him. Well, I didn't see him, but great to hear that he came out.
Yeah.
But.
Hope he comes out again soon.
Yep. Cool. Next up, Michael Seidelman. We have a new house high from him on Mario Brothers, 222,750 points. That was done on March 3rd. That's a really contested score. We've got like 3 players all over within like 20,000 points for that house high.
Yep.
James took back Guardian from Peter Gores on the 8th. Gores took that from him for the Monday Mystery win, but
yeah.
James took back the House High.
And James had said he had played it before.
Yeah, I was surprised that he didn't stick with it longer, because I think he would have put up a higher score if he stayed later.
Yeah, I think it was just one of those, he thought it was in the bag.
When right.
He saw the other people just kind of be like, James has it,
yeah.
And walk away.
Right. Yeah, you can't do that.
No.
But I think James deserves a big shout-out for his Donkey Kong 3 House High that he put up, though.
Absolutely. Huge shout-outs and congratulations to James for that. That was one that he's been working so hard at, and just such a tremendous show of skill and dedication, and just congrats to him for that.
I saw him get so close, and he took it like a champ. Like, he missed the score by less than 100,000 points one time, and in an hour and a half game, that's hard to do.
It really is.
To just miss the score and walk, you know, your hour and a half is gone and you didn't get the score, and then, you know, he's such a skilled player, but dealing with that kind of disappointment and able to come back and try again, that takes resilience. So,
but that's the sign of a true champion.
Yeah.
And
that's good. It's great that he can do that. I don't know. I'd be pretty down for a bit if I missed that score after playing in an hour and a half. You know.
Absolutely.
So congrats, James. You got 1,771,800 on Donkey Kong 3.
Yeah.
So James White will be sure to shark the game on Battle of the Arcades.
Yes.
He'll be up near the top there. He'll be swimming around looking for scores. Cool. Well, that does it with all of our high scores and world records.
Yep.
Let's get into our listener feedback.
Cool.
All right. So Mark Schultz, he posted a link to an article dealing with CRT rarity and how many are left in the wild, and when are we going to get to the point where they're not going to be in arcades? Are we going to be on LCDs anytime soon? How do you feel about the whole topic?
Yes. You know, this is one of those things where there are so many articles that come out, and
it seemed like this one had some misinformation in it.
You know, I couldn't even tell you the last time that I've really seen anything written that isn't just laced with misinformation from when the article of the father of Pac-Man passing away. It's like, it's great that places are kind of trying to cover the news, but if you're giving the wrong information out, it's getting some interest in it, and maybe some people will get into finding it, but it's just so frustrating to hear so much misinformation.
And not that front page of Orchid, we can use that for some good information.
We definitely will be doing more articles and stuff, but it's the mainstream stuff that is what muddies everything up, and it's just one of those. It's frustrating, and there's so many knowledgeable people that are easy to get in touch with. And
I think they'd be happy to tell the story.
Yeah, they're very accessible. It's just such a... It's just kind of laziness within the journalism side of the industry.
Yep.
Or just fringe people just taking things that they've heard and running with it.
So like, what do you think about CRTs? the topic itself.
It's definitely... You can never have enough. It's one of those, there's monitors, it's so different from person to person. Some people only want 100% burn-free, pristine monitors, and that's great, but...
I think that's the pipe dream, though. Like, that if you're going to be a collector that's never going to turn your games on, then maybe you can want that, but...
For sure.
The minute you turn it on, you're going to start putting wear on that thing.
For sure. There's ways to cut down on the chance of screen burn, but... Games like Cruisin' USA, like you can't find a 25-inch Cruisin' USA monitor that doesn't have that emblem burned into it.
Is that a medium-res monitor?
Well, the chassis on it, you can run... You know, I don't even know off the top of my head.
Okay.
I believe so. It is, yes.
Okay.
The thing with that, though, is like the tubes and the chassis are... interchangeable. Even on XY monitors, like, the tubes are the same. Like, we had our Star Wars monitor go out, Seth ran the storage, grabbed a different tube, mm-hmm. brought it over, and we put the XY chassis on it, and works great. There's a lot of monitors out there. There's a lot of donor cabinets. Like, there's so many cabinets that we see that have water damage beyond repair or are just so just point past the point of no return. Mm-hmm. The monitor will come out and it'll be all right. There's so many poker machines that yes. just have great CRT monitors in them. And it's like this last week, Seth came back with 15 new monitors.
Wow.
And it's like...
Did you see what he did today?
With what game?
He has a Ninja in it by the front counter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That looks amazing.
I have not actually looked at it yet, but I saw him putting that in this morning. It's like that tube is done for. Yeah. Like, and it might be like even if we rejuvenate it, it's done for. Chassis is good, mm-hmm. tube is bad. Sometimes it works the other way. So there's always less monitors out there, but there's still a lot of monitors out there.
Like, yeah, Tim Foley drew the analogy like there was 100,000 Pac-Man machines out there. If only 10 or 20% are out there, that's still 20,000 out there.
Right.
So, I mean, I think they're out there. You just have to know where to look.
Right. And again, it's so many of those things are like, who's asking this question and for what purpose? Mm-hmm. It's like people that say, I can't find any deals on games. It's like, well, how hard are you trying? Like, I find deals 7 days a week, and I buy the rarest of the rare stuff.
Right.
It's all out there.
It also depends on how much effort you want to put into it. Like, if you're not going to look in places that are harder, like, you can't just expect to log into eBay and find them and click, 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 it's here.
Right.
You have to know where to look and put in some effort.
Like, the person that wrote this article, it's like, they're not contacting... Like, we've got 585 games on the floor. They're not contacting us to see what our thoughts are on it. So, like, what information is he... Just because he knows that they're not being made anymore? It doesn't mean that
there's not... They were being made till, what, 2009 or so? They were made for a while.
For a long time.
Yeah.
But there's definitely one of those... it's one of those... It won't be in our lifetime, I don't think, that we can't get monitors.
Okay. So CRTs are not going to be replaced by LCDs in arcades anytime soon? For the arcades that want them?
You know, especially for the home market, there's so many people that are like, yeah, I want an LCD in my cabinet.
It takes up less energy and it looks brighter and whatever. Right. I don't care that it's not original.
But Galaga still looks like Galaga. Like yeah. that. Some games, it doesn't change that much. Like, myself, I'm a purist. I want CRTs and everything. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put an LCD in. But that person, and we've done it several times. It's what they want. We've told them the differences. They're like, you can have that monitor.
Yeah.
Somebody brought in a NOS, new old stock, untouched.
Do we even know who this is? I think it's a mystery donor.
It was a mystery donor. Somebody came in. I came in on
Saturday,
Monday.
Or yeah. I think Saturday it was dropped off at some point.
Right? I think it was dropped off on Sunday.
Sunday, okay.
But there was a brand new monitor sitting...
Still in the shrink wrap.
Still plastic wrap on the original foam. I'm like, what is this?
And Seth is like, I thought you knew. What is this?
Right.
And that was a funny conversation to watch.
Tom and Mike. And oh yeah, somebody dropped it off. And I'm like, no, this has never been even turned on.
Yeah.
And there's, oh yeah, the guy said that he bought it 6 years ago from Hap, brand new, doesn't need it, it's sitting there, he wants it to have a good home, give it a good home. 5 minutes later, Seth was tearing timber down to put in a brand new monitor. And
timber looks great now.
Timber looks amazing now. Yep. And it's like...
So thank you, mystery donor.
Thank you, mystery donor. it's... But... They're out there. Random people have them and are giving them away in 2017.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. The fact that a new warehouse that had... we picked up two cabinets from this warehouse at an unbelievable price.
Okay.
And I'm so excited to announce these games, but It's going to be a little bit before we... One of them we'll probably announce soon. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
And the other... But they had 15 monitors just sitting there. There's collectors I know with 100 monitors sitting there.
They have shelves.
Just shelves to the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Like...
Cool. That's good to know. Like, I didn't know myself. Like, I asked Seth. I'm like, what is this article? He's like, no, they're exaggerating. And
yeah, it's them sensationalizing something, maybe just to make the story. Maybe they just don't have the right information, but they're not taking the time to research things.
Got it. Cool. Steven Lucas is asking, what theme will GGA go with for titles that are going to be going to Midwest Gaming Classic this year?
We're going to be diverse, as
some
we always
old,
are.
New.
Little, we'll have some stuff probably premiere there. With our guests that are coming, we'll have a couple of games from each of that they've worked on.
Okay.
We're definitely going to be bringing prototypes, Beavis and Butthead, Chimera Beast, Primal Rage 2. So it's going to be a little bit of everything. I really want this to be this MGC. I just want to knock it out of the park. So.
All right. Excellent. Peter Gores is asking, how does qualifying work in BOTA? The same as last time, where top scores from the arcade being represented as long as you played all the games. So he actually has three questions here, but I think that we should kind of go into BOTA as its own thing at some point.
Yeah.
I know that you do have to put in scores for all the games for your scores to count. I know
yes.
that much at least. I'll link the Battle of the Arcades website for now, but I think the way it's set up is you basically compete against your teammates for the top scores of that game from your location, and then the best eight of your scores from all your players get sent against the masses. Is the way it works, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What are your thoughts on BOTA as a whole since it's been announced? Are you thrilled to see so many of us practicing for the tournament?
Absolutely. Like, the way that everybody's kind of been engaged in really working on the titles.
I like they're sharing their tech with each other.
Yeah.
Like, hey, try this technique in track and field.
And even that, though, that's something that happens all the time here. Mm-hmm. That's not our... top players doing anything new. They often share their tech, and
yep.
that's what makes this community. And I really want the Battle of the Arcades to be, like, the first one that we did was so much fun. And I think our presentation was excellent. We had excellent streaming coverage, and we look to do it even better this year. And there's a lot of stuff that we'll be going over in like the final roster of the team and everything. We want to fine tune that a little bit and make sure that we have all of our bases covered. And we're going to be doing, I don't know if it'll probably be, maybe not next week, but the following week, we'll do a lot of, we're going to be talking with the people that are going to be on the teams and... getting a lot more information out there of what's going on with Battle of the Arcades.
Cool. Finally, Gores has asked, will Ken Cade finally be crushed this year? Well, they've won the last three times, haven't they?
Yeah. We'll see. It's one of those... our guys are...
They're not afraid. That's the thing. They don't care.
With the game set, like... Everybody here has so many games that they're playing.
Yeah.
It's different from, like, this is a massively difficult challenge because Ken Cade, the games are picked based on the games that all of us have.
Mm-hmm.
And their game selection is a lot more limited.
Right.
So it's basically like out of the 40 machines that they have, this is the 12 that they picked. And they're amazingly good at those 40 machines.
Yes.
And that's great. But like the diversity that we have here,
I think
our guys were focused just on these 12 games as much as the other team is focused, I think we'd have no problem. But everybody here is so diverse. They have so many games that they want to play.
Right. They come in, they want to do hardcore challenges, they want to do Monday Mystery games. They want to take their own world records. They're not solely focused on Battle of the Arcades.
Right, right.
If they were, I think it'd be a different story.
And it's a high honor, the Battle of the Arcades, and like coming in last time, coming in second is...
No one saw it coming in.
No, like it's not a tournament that is... It is not in our favor, and these players' favor, by any means. And the fact that they the last time they did so well is a testament to how amazing these players are.
Yeah.
What I would love to see would be the guys that play in this tournament coming out to T20.
Yeah.
Like, let's have the Battle of Arcades
here
in an arcade, and let's see who walks away with that.
That's why I like the, you know, like Xerxes and Dwayne Richard and Martin. I like that they came out. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good, because like it's always something, and like you're not. There is no best at this particular game.
There's no picking the games you want to be good at. Everyone's got to play the same games.
Right, yeah. Right. And it's almost, at that point, less of the arcades versus each other. It's more of the arcades versus the players.
Yes.
And that's like the fun thing, I think.
Yep.
But we're so... It's an honor to be a part of it, and... whatever happens, I'm anxious. I know our guys are going to do amazingly well. Like, the scores that they're already training on. I would never say that we're going to... It's never a lock, because there's so many talented players at Kincaid and at Richie's. Yeah, so.
And now we have a new arcade entering the fray this year. What's it called? 2084 or something? I forgot the name of the other one.
I forgot the name of it, honestly. Okay. We'll do some more research on our competition as we draw closer. But right now, our guys are just working on their own games, and they'll just do their best. And that's a pretty powerful force right there.
Cool. I think this was meant more as a hypothetical, maybe not meant to be answered, but why are old games more fun than new games, asks Brad Vitale, a.k.a. Slips.
Former TGA member.
Yep.
Why are old games more fun than new games?
Because they have to be.
Well, I think the design is different and the target is different. Games now are created to... They have to be engaging for a shorter amount of time. They don't need to have as much replay.
They don't have to take your quarters either.
Yeah, well... They're not as difficult, and I think...
Not even near as difficult. There's very few games that are difficult today.
No. And I think, of everything, I think that's a terrible step that the gaming industry has made. That they're...
You don't like that games basically walk your hand through the first few levels?
I think it's terrible. Yeah. I think it's...
What about the children that are playing, though?
I think they're weak.
This is like the movie 300, where they throw the kid out into the wild, like survive or die, basically.
That's how it was in the 80s, and that's when there were good games. It was, if you're going to be good,
sink or swim.
Right. Maybe video games aren't for you.
Yeah.
It was such a smaller pool of people, and now it's like...
Only the sharks survived.
Well, everybody's able to play video games now, and it's like, I've seen... Everybody comes in with the attitude of like, oh, I'm really good at this game.
Oh, really?
And you watch them play and it's like, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking there's something that they're not. And as long as everybody's having fun, that's all it is. But the change that the industry has made to be more focused on, like, it's a business.
Oh, yeah, they want to get more people to just sign up so they can advertise to them and sell them whatever is packaged with their game. It's like, they want to sell their DLC, they want to sell everything else that comes with it.
Like, the innovation has been pulled out of the industry. It's everything is a sequel. It's so disappointing to see, like, big companies stepping away from making their great titles for whatever reason. It's so unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And... It's one of those things that I hope the industry changes, because you're losing out on great players, just with them becoming complacent to the easy games that are coming out, and it's changing the industry for the worse. And from a development standpoint, one of the things that resonates so much with me, and I think has to be so almost unsatisfying on a creative standpoint, is that these games come out and they just come and disappear so quick. Whereas 30 years later, people are still traveling from halfway around the world to play arcade games because those games have stood the test of time.
Yeah.
And it's one of those...
Do you think it has anything to do with the distribution model as well? Like, you don't even get a physical game anymore?
Like, that's... There's so many... And honestly, we should do a podcast just on this topic because there's so many elements of character design and things that just make the games sit in your head different. Yeah. Like, again, a package. Like, I remember just sitting and staring at the back of boxes and going through manuals.
I miss that too.
Hint books.
That's why I can't see spending $60 on something I download lately.
Right. You have...
what do I get?
Right.
Like, I mean, there are good games that have come out recently. Like, I like some newer games, like the new Ninja Gaiden. Like, I liked it a lot. And it can be difficult, especially if you unlock the Master Ninja mode. Mm-hmm. But that game, I think, is the exception to the rule, where it doesn't really play... The player is not given a free ride in the beginning.
Yeah.
But it was something else to hold a disc. And I think you feel like you have to do more with it if it's something you hold in your hand. Like,
absolutely.
If it's just sitting in digital space in the cloud, as they say, but it's not... It's not something you have to do anything with. It's already there.
That it sits with the psychology of how people do connect with it. Mm. And having a physical, tangible thing is one element of the psychology of it. Another, the characters themselves. Like, going back to Combat Con and hearing John Tobias talk about how he was creating characters that would be instantly memorable. One of the most... unsettling things to me, I was watching MKX, and I'm a bit of a Mortal Kombat fan. I couldn't even tell who the characters were anymore. It's like, oh, that's Katana? Okay.
Doesn't look much like her anymore?
Like the DLC and the costumes and all these little things have like marred the original purity of the characters. Yeah. And it's like you lose out on making something so iconic, and it gets quick short-term money, but it loses out on something that'll stand the test of time. And from a creative standpoint, to me, that's what I think the artists working on these games would want. And maybe I'm wrong. Like, the ones I've talked to, I think, would agree. They whip through the projects and then on to the next one. But it's one of those, you think back to the depth of the characters. Like, who couldn't see a silhouette of any Mortal Kombat character or Street Fighter character, or the silhouette of Mario or Simon Belmont or the Contra guys? Those are instantly recognizable. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you over-develop them and over-design them and give them 15 different appearances, it's too much to connect with.
Yeah, it's not. It loses the instant recognizability.
Yeah,
it's I don't know. It's a big topic in itself, I think.
I think that let's mark that down as a
okay.
It's a good topic, I think.
It is. Thank you, Slips, for that. That's a big aside there, but
yeah.
Let's come back.
Sorry for rambling on.
That happens.
Mini podcast within a podcast.
Yeah.
Again.
All right, so Tim Foley says, maybe a reminder and information on how easy it is to sign up for arcade at the arcade and how it can be used for casual players. So I think that's a good thing to do. You don't have to be a pro. You have to be Mark Bedard to sign up for arcade.
Right.
But yeah, basically it's free. Sign up at the arcade for now until we do more on the site end. Then you can sign up easier on the site. But then any score, it doesn't have to be a good score. It doesn't have to be... It has to be your score, and as long as you got the score at the arcade, we can put it on Arcade for you, and then you know where to start next time, so you can try to improve on it.
Yeah. It's something that it seems somewhat intimidating when you look at the scores on the card, and just disregard that. Like, start at your own place and compete against your own stuff or with your friends of the same skill level, and it's one of those, once you start doing it, it's so satisfying to beat your own score. Mm-hmm. And it's a big deal to us. Like, it doesn't matter that it's not going on top of the card. Like, you put that score and your name shows up on our list of newest scores going in. Yep. And it helps.
I've seen players, like, they're like, oh, I don't want to, scoring is really not for me. Within a month, they were on the card.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take long. Like, once you get into a game, it doesn't take long.
I honestly don't know of one player here
that started saying, I'm gonna be a scoring guy.
Right.
Most people don't come in saying, I'm here to set
scores. Matt Walters and Fred DeHart and even Rocco and James White. Like, James knew some of his scores and what he should be getting, but none of them were.
Like, I'm here to take all these scores.
Right. Yeah. They had no idea that scoring was something that they really got into. Mm-hmm. And it's great watching guys like Sean Quigley and Tim Foley and those guys, and even Mossy's was another one. He was just kind of like, just got into it. Mm-hmm. And his gaming skill has just gone up so much.
Yeah.
Like, it's everybody starts at their own place. In Arcade, it's super easy, and we're going to make it even easier. So, we still, if you're registering, contact either myself or Pete, because currently, until the site flips over, there's still a slight registration issue, but you can either contact us through Facebook or email. Mm-hmm. Or come to the arcade, and we'll get you set up and get your account squared away and fill you in on stuff and give you a tour of the site.
It's pretty easy to do.
Yep.
So,
and let's also bring up the Galloping Ghost iPhone and
Android
app, because definitely you can. It's something we haven't talked about much, and there's still so much work going into that. It is such an amazing resource. There's like everything you can think of is going into that. There's QR codes on each machine that you can scan. App is completely free.
No ads even?
No ads.
Yeah.
You download it. You can communicate with us.
You have an issue with a game, you want to put a score in, you want to see what our settings are, anything.
Yep. See the boards, see like flyers, instruction manuals. Sam Gates, our guy here, has been working so hard on that.
He's been doing great at that.
He has. And it's such a massive undertaking.
Shout-outs to Sam.
Absolutely. Shout-outs to Sam. But all that is going to work in conjunction with Arcade. And we want other arcades to start using our app, so we're going to help them create arcades that want to have that stuff. We're going to open up the app so they can make their own.
Oh, nice.
And get that it all integrated.
Very
cool. So make sure, download the app, and please let us know what you think about it, too.
Yep. Finally, our last listener question, Peter Gores asks, will the favorites and personal score tabs be accessible again? For Arcade,
yes. We're going to, again, all those features, there's so many features that should be in there, and we want to add a lot of things like that back in, and make a lot of different ways for players to communicate with each other, and ways to compare scores and
An update where, like, if someone beats your score, it'll send you an update?
It will send you an update, and it's not something that you have to have.
But you can.
Like, we're going to make it very modular in a sense that, like, it'll be as, you can be as involved with it as you want. So if you want updates, you'll get them. If you don't want updates, you won't.
Cool. Excellent. Well, that's all we had for today.
Awesome.
What are you playing? Are you playing anything?
I have been playing Bubbles. I played a couple of games Turkey Shoot. I'm still kicking around Asteroids a little bit. some Warzard, playing some Ripoff, playing some Sinistar. I've been
all over the place.
There's Chimera Beast. I can't not play a game of
that.
Every
time in the morning. You get a Monday Mystery Game, I see you look at it and like, oh, I want to play
it. I want to play it some more.
Yeah.
It's Dragon's Lair. I've been all over the place. So Laser Ghost. Mm-hmm. It's been... I do my walk around in the morning. Like, at 6 in the morning, I'll get here, and I walk around with all the games. Everything's still off. And I get my tools together and figure out what I'm going to be working on. And as the collection keeps growing and growing and growing, it's like that. There is a lot of just absolutely amazing games over there. Mm-hmm. And I just wish... I've been so fortunate. Danielle is getting back in playing Flicky.
That's good to see. I've seen her the last few days.
Yeah.
That's cool.
She's been... feeling better, and she's like on Sunday she's like, oh, let's go to the arcade. So it's like, okay.
Nice.
And so it's it's been great to be able to get a little more playing time in amidst all the work.